Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
The Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
It is one of the most recognized sports car venues in all of North America. Uphill, downhill, fast corners, slow corners. It has them all. And it is WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Just east of Monterey, California, sits this jewel of a racetrack. 11 turns, 2.23 miles. 11 corners, and as I said, up and down, you name it, this racetrack has it. Also known for being hard on these tires. Surface is worn in the aggregate coming to the top. Good passing zones, turn two, up into the corkscrew, the infamous corkscrew, and then down into turn 11. And that is a look at the racetrack, and absolutely so picturesque. And as I said, it has just about every feature you can imagine on a racetrack. And that is why it is so challenging for the drivers of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Series. 26 cars ready to attack this circuit. And the championships in the four different classes are incredibly close. Single-digit points margins in three of the four classes. And the competition should be absolutely intense. Joining me today, Jeremy Shaw. I'm Brian Till. We'll talk you through what is round nine of the 2021 Lamborghini Super Trofeo season. Welcome, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brian. We're gonna have 20. We should have 26 cars for the start of this race. We've got all of them running the same Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo, the evolution version of that car. We've got nine Pro cars, we've got five Pro Ams, we've got five Ams, and seven LB Cup contenders. They're drivers new to the sport. Unfortunately, one of the cars will not start the race. That's car number 51. Claude Signoretti had an off this morning in qualifying. So starting in the 26th position, or 25th on the grid, will be car number 8, started by Mel Johnson. That car had some shifter problems during qualifying, so didn't set a time, so we'll start at the back. Row 12 is car number 74, Tom Kerr, alongside Scott Wellham in car number 82. Row 11, making his debut this weekend, is Indy Al Miller in car number 31, alongside Matt Dickon in car number 36. Row 10 is Michael Minella in car number 4, and Mark Grammy, the LB Cup points leader, in car number 47. Row 9, two AM cars, Alan Metney in car number 99, Randy Soleri in car number 03. 16th on the grid, car number 33, that's John Hennessy. He has earned his first LB Cup pole position. He started fastest in the two sessions at Road America last time out, but those were set by practice when qualifying was rained out. Alongside him on the grid is Trevor Andrusco in car number 38. Row 9 is Ashley Harrison in car number 25, alongside Jordan Missig in car number 53. Row 6, Victor Gomez in car number 29, and Max Wearing in car number 61. 10th on the grid, Luke Berkeley, the fastest of the AM contenders in car number 23, alongside Stephen Agacani in number 6. They had some problems in qualifying this morning. Row number 4 is car number 48 is Alec Udell, alongside Brian Ortiz, the best of the Pro-Am pole sitters in car number 46. Row 3, Sergio Jimenez, a winner here last year in car number 44, alongside Dario Capitano in car number 22. Row 2, on the outside, Stephen McAleer in car number 16, and Nelson Piquet Jr. in car number 3. On the front row of the grid for Wayne Taylor Racing in car number 1 will be Kyle Marcelli, but on the pole position for the 20th time in his 6-year start in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo. This is 101st race in this championship. Car number 27 for Dream Racing Motorsport is Richard Antonucci.
Yeah, great field, Jeremy. Round 9, 10 is tomorrow, and then the season, the championships wrap up in Misano, Italy, with rounds 11 and 12, the World Championship. Great stories throughout this field. One of those that you touched on was on the front row, Kyle Marcelli, Danny Formal. They swept the weekend at Road America after a horrifying crash at Watkins Glen. They are fast here. They could be contenders. You know else who could be a contender, Jeremy? Nelson Piquet Jr. This is the best qualifying he's had. He did not run at Road America. The ANSA team struggled a little bit when they did run the first several rounds, and now they come back here with a vengeance. Piquet is a factor for the win, and remember, any car in between Antonucci and someone else is going to gain or take away championship points. And the championship right now, very tight indeed. Antonucci in that purple number 27 on pole. The white, blue, and black number one, Marcelli outside. Green flag waves racing at WeatherTech Raceway. What does Marcelli have? He's going to stay there. He's not in the championship run right now, but he wants to show that Road America was no fluke. Side by side to turn two. See the number one pushed out wide, and that's what you get for being brave sometimes, Jeremy. Kyle Marcelli tried to hang on the outside of turn two, went from second on the grid back to fourth by the time they got to turn three.
Yeah, he's trying to get a move. There was a slide there for Antonucci around.
The number three around, that's Nelson Piquet Jr., and who else went with him? That's back in turn three is where the big schmozzle was. The 33, John Hennessy, the 4, and the 03 of Randy Solari in there as well. And I think Solari may have damage to the right rear of his Lamborghini.
That's most unfortunate. There is the number 3 car of Nelson Piquet. He's off as well, unable yet to get that car going again. But more damage, as you say, for number 03 of Randy Solari.
So we'll look back and see what happens in turn three. It's pretty easy to tell the 47 into the back of the 33, and then that just takes others with them. And so Mark Kwame just pushing a little too hard, and then into turn four about the same time. I couldn't tell if the 22 perhaps got into the back of Nelson Piquet Jr., but Piquet with a long slide, I thought he was going to catch it. But nothing doing there, but Kwame certainly made contact with John Hennessy back in turn three, and that's what turned him around, and the rest of the melee followed.
Sheesh, what a messy first lap then. This would be a full course caution, of course, so that's not the race, not the way this race wanted to start, and that's a shame. I think there was contact between Capitano in car number 22 and Nelson Piquet Jr. in car number three that sent that car spinning in turn three, but behind. Yeah, that was a big mistake by Mark Kwame there. And he ends the day for Randy Solari and has put another couple of cars to the back of the field as well.
Mark Kwame and Terry Olsen had been on a tear in the middle of the season. Four wins in a row leading the championship. And the 61 car with a problem as well, Max Wiering.
Yeah, with a flat right rear tire as well on that car as well. Was that a separate incident? Because he was... He shouldn't have been in the middle of that little schmozzle. He should have been ahead of them when that tangle happened at turn three. So I'm not quite sure what happened to Max Wiering, but clearly that left rear tire on that number 61 car is well awry. See if we can see what happened.
Wiering looks inside the 53, and that's no place to try to get that done. It looks like when the car bounces up in the air and comes down, it literally pulls that left rear Pirelli tire off the rim, Jeremy.
Yeah, it did. That was a mistake there for Max. We're just diving down the inside, going into turn 10. It's awfully difficult to make a place to make a pass, so you've got to be totally committed. I think he was trying to get out of making the move, but it was too late. The car bounds across the road and up in the air, and as it lands just on that left rear wheel, just a little bit unfortunate there for Max Wiering, but I think it was a mistake that led to that, and another disappointing day for the young Dutchman.
Well, a crazy first lap. We go full course caution before we complete one lap. We saw four cars, maybe even five, involved in turn three. We saw Nelson Piquet Jr. with his spin, perhaps contact Dario Capitano, creating that issue for Nelson Piquet Jr. in turn four. And then we get around to turn 10 and the problem for Max Wiering there. I wonder if the yellow was not already displayed there for that incident with Max Wiering in turn 10 and perhaps tried to make the move, realized the yellow was there, everybody was slowing up, and it was just too late. So this is a racetrack is challenging to drive on in the best of times, but when something goes wrong, you're all packed up and you go full course caution. When you're nose to tail, especially in these low-strung low-slung Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracans, sometimes it's hard to see those corner stands and the double yellow flags that may be out. Not a good first lap any way you look at it, Jeremy.
No, no, it really wasn't there. And a whole bunch of dramas there. Randy Solari's out of that 0-3 car. That's a shame. Randy's he qualified quite well there, right in the middle of the pack there in that number 0-3. In the 17th position, fourth in the AM category, but ahead of Alan Metney, who's shown good pace for this season. His first year in Lamborghinis. Randy was the champion last year in the LB Cup category, moving up this year to the AM class for Wayne Taylor Racing, but his race clearly over barely before it had started.
And Randy Solari's body language told me that he was not pleased. Obviously, he was an innocent bystander in that. And you would think he would have gotten into the left side of the AMR rapid response vehicle, but he walked around to the right side, and I wonder if perhaps he wasn't looking for an offender on the racetrack to perhaps shake his fist at. So Solari is out early, as you said, after a good qualifying run. But let's talk about this championship. The championships, I should say, Jeremy, that are on the line right now. In three of the four championships, there is a Pro Driver Championship, Pro-Am, AM Driver Championship, and LB Cup Driver Championship. In three of those four, championship lead is single-digit points. In the pro category, Stephen McAleer just 5 points behind Richard Antonucci. Antonucci had been magic in the first part of the season, but had some problems as of late, and McAleer is charged. An incident there in turn three. You can see why Randy Solari tries to go around the outside, and he just gets caught up. There was really nowhere for him to go as he tries to go around the high side of all of that. All of that issue there caused by the 47 and indeed the 22 into the back of the four, or the three, I should say, of Nelson Piquet Jr. Piquet goes around. The gravel at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca is awesome for saving big incidents, but it also gets you stuck. And then Max Wearing tries to dive late inside the 53 into turn 10. Up and over the curb, the car comes down. Low pressure in these tires right now. They hadn't even had a chance to get up to tire temperature and therefore tire pressure, and it pulls that Pirelli right off of the rim for Max Wearing in the 61.
Yeah, with cars off for all the way around the racetrack, it's certainly going to be take a while to clean up all this mess with the various different cars requiring flat toes. That's the most unfortunate way to start that race. And you've got to feel sorry, certainly for Randy Solari and John Hennessy, those completely innocent victims there. I'm sure that will result in a penalty for Michael Minella in car number four, making that contact there in turn three and precipitating that multi-car accident. And we'll have to see what the stewards will think of that incident also between Capitano and Piquet. Piquet, by the way, was able to get going again. He came into the pits at the end of that first lap, I believe, or maybe he didn't, but he is going again, and he is back on the lead lap. John Hennessy has got his car back to the pits as well, car number 33. He's currently shown, though, as one lap behind the race leaders. Piquet, though, is still on the same lap as the overall leaders with three laps in the books.
Well, and I'll tell you, Jeremy, this isn't good news for anyone because you want to be racing. But here's the thing as well. Kyle Marcelli in the number one wants to chase down Richard Antonucci. Antonucci excels at starts and restarts. He's one of the drivers that helped develop this Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo. So he knows the car so well, and all year long, his hallmark has been starts and restarts. What Kyle Marcelli wants is a lot of green flag running to see if he can get Richard Antonucci to burn those Pirelli tires off of the number 27 just in front. And for the number 16 of Stephen McAleer, he wants Marcelli out of the way. McAleer second in the championship, but third on the racetrack in that Bud Light number 16, the light blue and white Lamborghini running in the third position. He wants Marcelli out of the way. He needs to finish in front of Antonucci if he wants to keep closing down in this championship in the latter part of the season. And that's just the story in the pro category.
Yeah, that's right. In Pro-Am, Brandon Godovic and Brian Ortiz, they drive number 46 car for Precision Performance Motorsports. They've got a pretty handy lead in that category coming into this weekend. And Brian Ortiz leads that class as well now in sixth position overall. In the Am class, Alan Metney comes into this weekend with a three-point edge over Luke Berkeley. But it's Berkeley who who is on the pole position and leads the class in the early stages of this race, running in the 10th position in car number 23 for the Dream Racing Motorsport team. And in Lamborghini Cup, Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen have a 5-point edge over Mac Dickin coming to this week. But with an incident on the first lap, we'll have to see whether there's a penalty for Mark Kouame as well for causing that incident. But right now he's down in the 5th position in the class after that incident, and his rival for the championship, Matt Dickin, who's won the class only once this season compared to the 4 wins of Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen. Matt Dickin is though in 15th position overall, who leads the class right now in car number 36 for Change Racing.
And you talked about the AM Driver Championship, Alan Metney with that slim lead over 17-year-old Luke Berkley. And Alan Metney in the unenviable position of leading two professional championships in motorsports right now. I say unenviable position because one series is racing here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. The other is racing at Indianapolis this weekend. And Alan Metney will compete in both. And that means he's going to have to sacrifice a little bit in both championships. Here, he'll miss tomorrow's race, but will get last place points because he is qualified for that race. He just won't start it. In Indianapolis, he will miss one of three races, but he leads that championship handily there. So here's a guy who has poured out his heart and soul into motorsports, done everything he needed to do to lead both championships, and now he's going to have to sacrifice a little bit of both on this weekend because of scheduling conflicts, races on top of races.
Yeah, and you know, when the season began, that wouldn't have been a problem, but there were, because of the COVID pandemic, several of the races were confirmed at a late date, which was Indianapolis, although apparently that was on the schedule initially, just hadn't been announced. But this race was certainly put back several months from when it should have been, so that created a clash. And so hats off to IMSA there for trying to facilitate Alan Metley as best they can, but they were getting ready now for a restart with 38 minutes remaining.
Safety car onto pit road. Antonucci, we said, just can't stay with him, and it's interesting. Pirelli tires aren't at Marcelli said the good thing is Danny Formal is very good. As is the white number 48 of Alec Udell sitting 7. Sacrifice, don't give something away. Tanio and the 47 of Mark Kouame will get drive leads for. Pro Championship looking a little bit further back. Brian Ortiz in the 46 running 7th overall. Strength and show what he can do. Formula cars, this is very different for Jordan, but as his mirror of that. Down the hill, Marcelli, a big compression. Track Clovis corner, turn 11. Down into turn two, the Andretti hairpin, looking a little further back. Alec Udell now has been passed. Well, no, has gotten back past the 46, I should think. So battling there in the latter part of the pro category. These battles all throughout. Don't forget, he is action. It comes at 20 minutes in, lasts for 10 minutes. So there's 20 minutes of racing, then a 10-minute pit stop. Racing to the end after pit stop window close. Connie in the number six being
so sorry for some audio problems there for Brian Till. We'll try to get that back on track. This is Jeremy Shaw. We are 8 laps now completed by the race leaders in this 50-minute race. We've got 33 minutes remaining in this race. It will be a mandatory pit stop for all of the drivers at some point during this race. That pit stop has to be made between 20 minutes into the race with 20 minutes remaining. So it's a 10-minute window that will be opening in 3.5 minutes' time. So another couple of laps at least will be completed by the race leaders as we stand right now. It's Richard Antonucci who leads by just about a half a second over Kyle Marcelli, with Stephen McAleer holding close behind him in the third position. A little bit of a gap back to Alec Udell in kind of a 48 in fourth position. Sergio Jimenez, who had a problem in qualifying this morning with a water hose blowing off that Lamborghini engine. He's up into the fifth place now, ahead of the Pro-Am setter. That's Brian Ortiz in car number 46.
McAleer now beginning to close down on Kyle Marcelli just a little bit as Antonucci begins to pull away. And I'm wondering if that is car setup or experience there, Jeremy, in the 27 with Richard Antonucci.
Yeah, and I think he knows that this track is hard on tyres, so he's going to make sure he doesn't push too hard in this race and burn up those Pirelli tyres before we get down to the latter stages. He's eked out just a little bit. He's getting quicker and quicker. That was his fastest lap of the race this time around, 126.2 there for Richard Antonucci. That is a new fastest lap of the race so far, and he's now extended that lead over Kyle Marcelli in second place for Wayne Taylor Racing, and then the change racing Bud Light car with Steve McAleer in third. Gap between first and second now just about 1 second. That's the first time it's reached that margin in this race so far.
And this is going to be really interesting when you think about Stephen McAleer, Jeremy. I mean, they have had an interesting year in that number 16 change racing Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo. And I say that number 16, the interesting thing is Stephen McAleer has driven 5 different chassis this year on 4 different race weekends. And it's a story of they started the season with a borrowed car, and then somebody took that borrowed car back. Then they got another borrowed car. The owner wrecked the primary car, so they took that borrowed car back. And at Road America, he actually drove 2 different chassis. Owner came to get one and returned one that wasn't in such good shape. They fixed it. And now the owner came and took it back again this weekend. They had to find another car to drive. And any race car driver will tell you, as much as manufacturers strive to make the cars exactly the same, that's not always the case. Stephen McAleer for persevering. And not only running well, running 3 finishes and second in the championship in 5 minutes. A side view mirror off of, you know, it's the driver's side mirror off of Stephen McAleer's Lamborghini in its 2.
So 10 laps now completed. The window for the pit stops will be open in just a half a minute's time. So by the end of this lap, the pit stops can be made. We've already seen a pit stop for car number 22. That was Dario Capitano. That was a penalty as a result of that incident on the first lap. So he has come in, served that drive-through penalty and resumed in the 16th position. And there's a wing mirror flying off that number 16 car of Stephen McAleer. It's been a busy season for that team, but he's still running there. He's in the third position. He's pulled out a goodly margin now over Alec Udell, who runs fourth for Kelly Moss Road Racing, car number 48. That left-hand mirror isn't certainly what you want as the car ahead of him. That's Kyle Marcelli. He will come onto the pit lane to hand over that Wayne Taylor Racing car number one to Danny Formal from Costa Rica.
Well, and interesting, when that mirror departed the number 16, Jeremy, it almost looked like perhaps Stephen McAleer ran over a piece of rubber, because I saw another piece of debris. And I'm wondering if he ran over a piece of rubber or something on the racetrack that actually got kicked up and took that mirror off.
Oh, could be, yeah, good point.
It was odd, to say the least. Pit window is open, as you said. Yeah, I find it interesting that Kyle Marcelli would exit the number one so early. A lot of times you'll put that first driver in and run them toward the end of the window before you make the driver change.
True, but Danny Formal, he's been super fast. In fact, he qualified on pole position, I think, for the second race, which will take place tomorrow. Yes, indeed, he did. At 125.4 for not quite as quick as Carl Marcelli managed, but that number one car has been fast. And, you know, we've already seen several incidents in this race, and you don't want to be caught out having not made your pit stop by the time the pit stop window closes. So I think for the car number one there, I mean, Carl Marcelli was able to match the pace of Richard Antonucci. He felt, so maybe if they make the change now, get Danny Formal out there on a clear track, he can turn some fast laps before Richard Antonucci makes his pit stop. Perhaps that will turn out in their favour. The other interesting thing about these pit stops is it's a mandatory pit stop, but several of the Richard Antonucci is one of the drivers who's driving solo in this race. He's not going to be changing drivers. There's a minimum pit stop time that has to be served by each of the cars. That time is measured from the moment they enter the pits to the moment they exit the pits. The minimum time for a two-driver car is 84 seconds. For a solo driver, it's 87 seconds, so a three-point differential. Richard Antonucci, his car will have to be stationary in the pit lane for 3 seconds longer than the car that had been driven, first of all, by Kyle Marcelli, and then in the second half of the race by Danny Formal. Why the differential? Well, because if you think about it, the driver who's done the first part of this race, he knows how the car is handling. He knows how the tyres are working. So he can leave the pits and be right on the pace right away. But for the driver getting into that car at the half distance mark, it's going to take him several corners at least to really figure out how that car is balanced, how it is performing compared to the last time he drove that car, which would have been in qualifying earlier on today. Here we are there now with 12 laps in the books next time around, and Richard Antonucci brings that number 27 car onto pit lane. It's the end of lap 13.
Well, I think that was a great call on the part of Richard Antonucci's program to make that call right now. You say it's a 3 second longer pit stop. He had a 2.9 second lead over Stephen McAleer that last lap, and Antonucci was catching traffic. That was going to close the gap. And then if they pitted, even if both pit stops were perfect, McAleer would have leapfrogged him. It's going to be interesting to see if the 16 can get by. How close was he? Antonucci was being caught, or held up, I should say, in traffic. McAleer dove to pit lane as well. Their stop should be 3 seconds shorter if they do it well, and he may be able to jump out in front of Richard Antonucci. And we've seen this penalty before this year, Jeremy. If Antonucci leaps out to block the 16 and then does not keep pace down pit lane, he may be penalized for that type of move.
Yeah, a bit of gamesmanship has been employed here in the past, as you suggest, Brian Till. So, the team, they've practiced this already. They know that when that car leaves the pit box, they know exactly how long it takes to get to the pit exit line, where the timing line is. That's when the car will launch. That's exactly what Richard Antonucci has done just now. And the gap between himself and the number 16 car is pretty similar as they leave the pit lane. That's interesting because Jeroen Moel has taken over at the number 16 car from Stephen Mackley, who drove the first stint, and Richard Antonucci, who's driving solo in this race, is able to maintain that advantage as they leave the pits.
Well, you know what I saw, Jeremy, was I saw Richard Antonucci drop the trigger as soon as he crossed the line, and I'm not sure Jeroen Moel did, that pit lane speed limit line, and you don't think that's much. It turns into four or five car lengths just there, but as it gets extrapolated down the field, all of a sudden it's a lot more distance as a problem headed up out of turn five. I did not quite see that car number, but I did see John Hennessy go wide to avoid. Not sure the first car that spun, but Hennessy with a good move out wide. There used to be a long straight. Obviously, it's standing more. John Hennessy did a good job of missing it because it could do some damage. Hennessy, a little dirty, but maybe no harm, no foul, although maybe that was just an option with the reflection. For the sake.
I'm just hearing some timing from the pit lane that two or three cars were fractionally quicker than the minimum pit stop time. The number six, the number 44, and the number three. So that's Jacob Edson in car number six, Sergio Jimenez in car number 44, and Nelson Piquet Jr., who's fighting back from that pit stop on the early lap after the first lap spin. Those cars almost fractionally quicker than the minimum pit stop time. However, it's as it was less than a second inside the margin, their penalty will be double the amount by which they were under it, so less than a second in total. By contrast, number 16 car was 2 seconds over the minimum pit stop time. So the handover from Stephen McAleer to Jeroen Moel took 2 seconds longer than the minimum time. So that's going to be costly in its own right, but of course there will be no penalty for that. Here is the car number 38 to Matt Dickon. Matt Dickon has stayed out longer than everybody else. He will bring that number 36 car onto the pit lane, as will Indy Al Miller in car number 31. Number 36 car, Matt Dickon, he's driving this race solo for Indy Al Miller, making his debut this weekend. He'll be sharing the number 31 car with Ophir Levy, who is making his second start in this championship. He also did the opening rounds of the season and back now for the first time since then.
Well, and that's a good point on that longer pit stop for the 16. I thought perhaps Richard Antonucci got off the pit lane speed limiter button just right at the line, and perhaps Jeroen Moel hesitated just a little bit, but I think that gap we saw, Jeremy, is what you pointed out, just taking a little too long on that pit stop. 2 seconds is a lot of distance on the road stop.
Yeah, it's a lot of time to give up, certainly to someone like Richard Antonucci. We know how fast Richard Antonucci is, so he's got a gap now of about 2 seconds over car number 16. Danny Formal now is in a third position. He's about a second and a half behind the two leaders, now running in the third position. So Richard Antonucci, all his experience, he's had this is his 20th pole position for Antonucci. He's had 18 overall wins in the past as well. So he is the most successful driver in terms of wins in this series, and he's running out front now. He had a difficult weekend last time out at Road America, where he's involved in a crash in the practice and had to start to share a different car for the race. Had two poor results there, but bouncing back here in perfect style in that Bitbull car number 27, the Dream Racing Club.
Right now, it's Antonucci as the pit stops have cycled through. Antonucci out front, then Jeroen Moel in the number 48 of Alec Udell with the deep run. Had a problem in qualifying, broken axle. And this young man's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Championship Series. continues this weekend and had a great run in that series at Road America. Like, you want to believe it, Jeremy, but very, very. Category. Brandon Godovic leading in Pro Am, and Ashley Pearson in her number 20. We talked about the championship back in. Right. Having a couple of cars and Ron Mull lurking that light blue number six. This is to get close to see if he can take.
So 17 laps completed now by Richard Antonucci. We've got less than 20 minutes remaining in this 50-minute race. And Richard Antonucci leads Jeroen Moel in the Cullinan 60 by around about 2.5 seconds. So that gap stayed pretty constant, just a 0.2 seconds quicker that on that last lap was Richard Antonucci than the second-place car. Danny Formal runs another 1.5 seconds back in the third position. And close behind Danny Formal is Alec Udell, who's having a good run in the fourth position in car number 48. And also trying to make up a slight deficit on them is Jacob Edson, who's taken over from Stephen Agacani in car number 6, rounding out the top five. Brandon Godovic runs 6th overall, best of the Pro-Am cars, ahead of Sergio Jimenez by not very much. And then behind them are the second and third place cars in Pro-Am. That's Jordan Missig in car number 53 for Wayne Taylor Racing, and Victor Gomez for Change Racing in car number 29. Victor Gomez is running 2nd in the points in Pro-Am, but it's Brandon Godovic who's got a pretty handy lead in that class coming into this weekend and in this race as well. Some lappery going on here for the second place car. Jeroen Moel trying to work his pace way past a couple of slower cars. He does that coming into turn 11, and that's going to hand a bit more of an advantage to Richard Antonucci as he crosses the line to complete lap 18. And this lap around for Antonucci was a 1:28.4. His fastest lap of the race, set a little while ago, 1:26.9. That was just before the round of pit stops. So almost 18 minutes remaining. It's Richard Antonucci who leads, and in the third position, Danny Formal, but Alec Udell is trying to put the pressure on Danny Formal, the battle for the third and fourth positions, and Jacob Edson, he's trying to make out that deficit as well. I don't think he's quite with them yet. A bit further back down the order, 10th position overall is Ashton Harrison. She leads the AM category in car number 25, so it's been a great day for Wayne Taylor Racing. She drives for Wayne Taylor Racing. She's got a lead of about just 0.5 seconds over Luke Berkeley for Dream Racing Motorsport in car number 23. Farther back again, Bart Collins now it is who leads in LB Cup in car number 4 for MCR Racing, but he's barely ahead of Matt Dickin in car number 36. That's a great battle for the lead in LB Cup for 17th and 18th positions overall. There is a spin for Tom Kerr. He's running back in the 22nd position, and he's looped it coming out of turn 3. That's a pretty dangerous location.
Yeah, that's a scary place to be on the racetrack, Jeremy, especially when you're facing backwards. You could see the problems coming, but the other cars have a hard time seeing you until they get to the apex, and some of those times it could be too little too late. I think Richard Antonucci really the benefactor of that traffic we saw over the last couple of laps. He was able to get through it. Oh, and don't pull over into the gravel. 74 car in the gravel. The gravel's there for a reason. It's deep and it slows the cars down, and if you pull too far into it, you're gonna get stuck. The 74 right now trying to get turned around. Tom Kerr trying to get to a place where he can see and find a safe way back onto the racetrack.
somewhat unconventional, but he's managed to do it, Brian. So he's back underway again. And no harm, no foul. He didn't hit anything solid. So Tonko is able to continue there in car number 74. But that was a scary moment for some of the cars that were coming around that corner and seeing that car coming back towards them, albeit off the racetrack.
Well, I can tell you, turn three, one of the most frustrating corners on the entire racetrack. It has never had any grip, and whether that was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or last week, it's always been that way, and a very frustrating corner, to say the least. Not only is it easy to spin a car there, it's easy to overdrive it and really heat up and abuse these Pirelli tires, and that's where a lot of this tire degradation that you hear about comes from, is getting into these areas where there's little traction, but being greedy with it and trying to get something that just isn't there. And the drivers will tell you, it's really hard to feel if you're overdriving the car or underdriving the car in certain areas of this racetrack, especially like in turn three. It's kind of like ice. You can't tell whether you're overloaded or underloaded, and it's real easy to overdrive the car, therefore slide it and really punish the tires.
Indeed so. It is such a tricky corner. I mean, it looks one of the most innocuous corners on the track, but you're right, but there's something about turn three that just makes it very, very tricky. It's virtually flat. There's no camber at all in that corner, unlike at turn five, as the cars begin to head up the hill to the VP Fuels bridge and turn six. There's a good bit of camber to help you there, but there's none at all in turn three, Brian, is there?
No, none at all. It's flat as can be. And it's just, I can't even begin to tell you how frustrating. It's really interesting. I've talked to a lot of drivers in the paddock this weekend throughout the different series. And or what you're driving in. So it's one of those frustrating areas. The thing that is so challenging about this racetrack, Jeremy, as you well know, there are areas of the racetrack that are slow, areas that are fast, areas that have big compression where the car really slams into the ground. Turn six, turn nine, turn 10, and then areas that are so slow where you need mechanical grip, like turn 11, the Andretti hairpin, turn two, and turn three. And it's really hard to get a car that will work in all that different diversity as far as the different layouts go here at WeatherTech Raceway.
Yeah, it is. But that's what makes it so challenging. That's what makes it so fun. We've got a couple of changes of positions here. A little bit further down the order in the 10th position now, Luke Berkeley has just managed to find a way past Ashton Harrison on that last lap. So we've got a new leader now in the AM category. Car number 23, the youngster Luke Berkeley, who is from Davie, Florida, just 17 years of age, driving for the Dream Racing Motorsport team and representing the Broward, South Florida Lamborghini dealer. He's now in the class lead, and that would put him into the points lead if those positions, if he can maintain that to the end of this race. Luke Berkeley came into this weekend with a 3-point deficit to Alan Metney. He did put the car on pole position, however, for this race. That is worth one championship point. The difference between first and second is 3. So from a 3-point deficit, if the positions stay as they are now, Luke Berkeley will lead in AM going into the final races, 3 races of the season, one more tomorrow in that number 23 car. In LB Cup, meanwhile, Bart Collins he's still maintained an edge over Matt Dickon in second place. Number 4 car still leads in LB Cup in the 16th position overall right now.
Yeah, and that was another one of those championship. LB Cup, it was so close. Marquami Terry Olsen led it. And now 5 points that they had in hand when they came in here is gone when you look at the current running order right now in LB Cup, with Collins, Dickon, Hennessy, and then Olsen being shown fourth in the category right now in his 47th.
Yeah. Fourth place, that's worth the 8 points. Second place, which is where Dickon is now, is 12 points. That's a 4-point differential. What do you say the gap was coming in this weekend?
Yeah, it was 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So it couldn't get much tighter there.
Well, yeah. And now it's about picking up one position. If you're Terry Olsen, can I get past John Hennessy? But I think Hennessy may be well in front right now by looking at timing and scoring. So that's not going to happen. But that really, that math is going on throughout 3 of the 4 championships right now. Every single point matters. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it does when you come here in single points lead differences, and it's like second is better than third, third is better than fourth. It may only be 2 points, it may only be 4 points, but that could be the difference in a championship.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's 12 races long, this championship, 15 points for a win each time, plus 1 point for pole position. And so, you know, there's still three races remaining after today. But for Richard Antonucci, he's doing exactly what he needs to do right now. He started on the pole position for this race. He's leading pretty much flag to flag aside from the pit stops. But he's certainly maintained his advantage over all the other pro contenders in this race. He now leads by about 2.3 seconds over Jeroen Moule in that number 16 car for Change Racing. The Bud Light car is in second position. So we see a puff of dust there at exit of turn five. It was race leader Richard Antonucci. He's losing all the road to maintain that edge at the moment. 10 minutes remaining in this race.
Here's the problem, as we've watched all season long with Richard Antonucci and his skill and experience behind the wheel of one of these Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evos, and that is, if you let him get out front, it's really hard to reel him in. If you can stay close, if you can put pressure on him, he's a driver that you can force into an error from time to time. You can race him hard. He'll race you clean. He'll race you aggressively. But it's not that he's infallible. What I think Antonucci's strength is he is so good on the starts and restarts. He's able to pull out a gap and never gives you the opportunity to pressure into a mistake. Or seldom does, and it may take lap traffic. We could see that, Jeremy, as Richard Antonucci in that purple 27 through turn three has traffic in front, and Jeroen Moule has not let him get away. 2.5 seconds in front the last time at the line, and I think that may be closing, and lap traffic may help.
It may help because the gap has been, you know, pretty constant. It's varied by a few tenths of a second, but not much more than that. It was 2.3 seconds when after they completed their pit stops and came back, you know, fully up to speed with the other contenders having made their stops. So it's changed very little in the intervening, eight laps now, as we see a spin there for, is that several black cars in this race. I'm not going to...
53.
Yeah, it is. It is Jordan Missick. It's number 53, who was running second in the Pro-Am class. Eighth place overall was Jordan coming into this lap. And he's going to be lucky. He's very fortunate to get that car out of the gravel.
Well, I was wondering about that because I was thinking just over 8 minutes to go, if he doesn't get it out of there, they're going to have to go full course caution, go get him. And what kind of a shootout would that have set up? In fact, I'm sure Jeroen Moule was saying on the radio, no, guys, he's stuck. You got to come get him. Go yellow now. Thinking, man, if I could close this up, that would be nice. About 135 miles an hour underneath the pedestrian bridge at the start-finish line. These Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evos are doing, and so add probably another 15 miles an hour or so by the time they get to the braking zone for the Andretti hairpin. And traffic really going Antonucci's way. Interesting to see Ashton Harrison now has had some type of a problem. She's dropped well back of Luke Berkley in the AM category. She had been right there with him.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it's more of a gap. Not quite such of a gap, is it, on the racetrack? Yes, it is. Okay, maybe she's had a spin then, because she was running right with him. There's another bunch of cars there that are in that mix as well. Number eight car, which is Patrick Liddy, making up for that problem early on. That car started at the back with Mel Johnson. So Patrick Liddy's working his way through the field very, very nicely. Started last, now up to the 10th position overall and third in Pro-Am. Dario Capitano also was in that little gaggle of cars, along with Nelson Piquet. So Ashton, she's certainly lost a lot of ground on that last lap, has fallen to the tail end of that group, but she is still second in the AM class by about 2.5 seconds over Alan Metney in kind of a 99, who's third in AM at the moment.
Talked to Alan Metney yesterday in the paddock, and what a great guy. You see the iFly logo on the side of it. He used to be a professional skydiver and then started the iFly indoor skydiving experience. And you know, driving two different types of sports cars this year, he said, I think I may have bitten off just a little bit more than I could chew. I thought it would be good because the two cars are laid out so differently, but it has really worn me out this year. But We've seen some great runs by Alan Metney and Luke Berkeley at 17 years old. Had a chance to sit down with he and his family, his mom, his dad, his sister. Sister's in medical school at USC, and dad an attorney down in Florida. And Luke's like, you know, I've kind of gotten some of my thinking and my analyzation skills from my family. Obviously, serious IQs in that Berkeley family, I would say, after listing the professions that they're in and seeking. But just an impressive young man, mature well beyond his years, and very little time in a car. Just started going to track days 2 years ago at 15 years old in a personal car, and then moved into a Formula car to do some testing in Florida, and then, you know, got together with Dream Racing and got a chance to drive one of their Lamborghinis and just kind of fell in love with it. And they've taken him under their wing, and they're, you know, he's done just a spectacular job. Enrico Bertezia just says, owner of Dream Racing, says he's an impressive young man. He's going with me. I'm taking him. His parents are going to stay here as we go to Misano for the World Finals. They're trusting me to take him there. And I told him that I will take care of the son as I have all year long. And just really impressive to see young guys like that doing battle with more experienced veterans like an Alan Metney or somebody like Ashton Harrison and her Harrison contracting with Wayne Taylor Racing Entry, who has won two times this year. That category, that Pro-Am category, or the Am category, I should say, has really, really had some good competition, Jeremy.
It has, hasn't it? And it's great to see. And I tell you what, for Luke Berkey to be driving a Lamborghini at 17 years of age is, hats off to him. I bet he is enjoying it. He damn well better be enjoying it, I can tell you, from my perspective. But he's taking full advantage of the opportunity, and that's the crucial point here. Just look at the back, the battle for the lead there. There's not that much, but all of a sudden, between those first two, with Richard Antonucci, that gap now is down to, it's been halved all of a sudden. It's just over a second between Antonucci and Moule as they head into the final 4 minutes of this race.
And Dario Capitano having a good go in that purple number 22. Easy to get confused with the 27 of Richard Antonucci. Having quite the scrap with that light blue and fluorescent orange number 8 of Patrick Liddy just in front. Liddy in a Pro-Am entry. Capitano in the Pro category car. But Liddy, I mean, they were side by side through 3 and 4. Liddy's gotten by and kind of set sail.
Yeah, he's... Patrick Liddy is pretty impressive. I mean, he did very, very few laps yesterday. Hasn't driven this car since the opening race of the season, which was way long time ago, wasn't it? Back in May at Circuit of the Americas. So hopping into that car this weekend, and he was originally due to drive the 31 car with the same team, the Ogara Motorsport US Racetronics team based in Southern California. So a home race for that team. But when Ophir Levy decided to drive his car, number 31 car, with Indy Al Miller, who's a long-time buddy, then Mel Johnson decided, hey, in that case, come drive with me, Patrick. And they had some problems yesterday in that car with the engine just wasn't performing properly. They changed the engine overnight. They had a problem in the qualifying session this morning. So really, this is the first time that Patrick has been able to drive this car in anger. Well, I know he did the second qualifying session, actually. He will start fourth overall tomorrow. It's been a really good run for Patrick Liddy today. It's also been a good run for this man, Bart Collins, who's taken over from Michael Minella in a number 4 car for MCR Racing, heading down the hill now. But Matt Dickin is right behind him, number 4 and number 36. That is a battle for the LB Cup class. We're now just over 2 minutes remaining in this race.
And right now, Matt Dickin in the 36, heading into turn 11, really putting pressure on the back of the number 4 of Collins as Antonucci, with under 2 minutes to go, heads down into the Andretti hairpin, and Jerome Moule has closed to within less than 2 seconds, but he's going to need some help. I think catching Richard Antonucci is one thing, passing him on this very tricky WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca layout is something entirely different.
Yeah, that's a very, very fair point, Brian Till, no question about it. And on that last lap, Richard Antonucci able to extend that gap just by another couple of tenths of a second as this battle heads towards turn 5. And Bart Collins, it might be the biggest lead he's had for most of this race. It's now maybe 8-10 car lengths as he heads up the hill over the number 36, of Matt Dickin.
Well, as the 4-car train heads out of turn 6 and up the hill to the corkscrew, The last two cars in line are fighting for the final position on the pro podium. That's the number one, Danny Formal, the blue and black number one, Prestige Performance Motorsports entry out of Wayne Taylor Racing Stables. And he's got all kinds of pressure from the 48. Alec Udell, we talked about Udell having problems in qualifying with a broken axle. Now he is right there in the Kelly Moss Road Race Lamborghini San Francisco entry, all over the back of Formal as the white flag now waves for Richard Antonucci. One more lap around WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Yeah, and the gap but up to 2 seconds again now then. So the kind of the regular margin between those two and ahead into this final lap. And, you know, there's 15 cars, I think, on the lead lap right now. But that battle, there's other battles that are continuing behind them. But Richard Antonucci, he's broken the camel's back here. He's extended that lead. And he's now just got one more lap, less than one lap remaining, to take home what would be his 19th victory in these cars, dating back to his debut in 2013.
And it would be his fifth victory on the season. We're not going to give him to him yet because you got to make it all the way around. Fallen victim to that type of thing before in motorsports, so it won't happen here. But Antonucci, as he dives out of the corkscrew, could almost coast from here. Probably wouldn't come home with the victory. Jerome Newell still within 2 seconds of the back of the number 27. But for Dream Racing and Lamborghini Las Vegas, they are staring quite strongly at victory number 5 on the season. And for Antonucci out of turn 11, the final time, Newell, nothing doing there. 5 victories, Richard Antonucci, Dream Racing, Lamborghini Las Vegas in the 2021 season. And for Jerome Newell and Stephen McAleer, they come up just short in their 5th different chassis of the season. The number 4, Mark Collins, flashes across the line. He'll take the win in LB Cup. And you talk about a good weekend for Dream Racing. Did the 48 get past? No. The 6 of Jacob Edson got in there as well. That was close. Where did Edson come from on the final lap? Formal takes the final podium position in pro, but Jacob Edson slides up into 4th. Alec Udell back to 5th. Godovic takes the win in Pro-Am. And Luke Merkley, the 17-year-old, I talk about a good day for Dream Racing. Lamborghini Brower this time will celebrate with Dream Racing as Luke Merkley takes his 3rd victory on the season. And what an impressive year this has been so far. And it is not over for the 17-year-old from Florida.
Very impressive run for him. Nelson Piquet Jr. brings that car home again. And that position on the last lap for Jacob Edson, that's exactly what that team needed. They had a good weekend at Road America. They closed to within 11 points of the championship lead. They're going to lose some ground here to Richard Antonucci, but making that position on the last lap certainly would be good for Jacob Edson and Stephen Agacani. And for Edson, it's been a busy week for him, by the way. He's been flying today. He was flying earlier in the week because he's just got his wings. He's just passed he's just obtained his pilot's license. So following in the footsteps of both of his parents, who are professional pilots, as indeed is his sister, and his second sister also has a private license, but she's becoming a doctor as well. Talking about accomplished families, hey Brian.
I know, I saw that, and I thought, you know, hats off to Jacob Edson. And there are a lot of race car drivers who love airplanes. I'm one of those people, and you know, it was just really cool to see that there's a lot of similarities between flying an airplane and driving a race car. And there are a lot of differences as well. But I saw that today and thought how cool, especially considering the fact that both his parents are professional pilots. And it seems to be kind of we'll call it a hobby, even though they do it for a living, but something that the whole family can enjoy and talk about. That's very cool. This is very cool as well. 27 to victory lane one more time. And Richard Antonucci inching closer and closer to a championship in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America action. Think about that, Jeremy. How frustrating is it for a Stephen McAleer, a Jerome Newell, to be so close? I mean, we talked about the 5th different chassis that Stephen McAleer has driven this year, and every time they get in a different car, for whatever reason, they still seem to manage to find the podium, but they just can't get close enough to Antonucci, at least the majority of the time.
That's true, but certainly it's been a really good performance by them, and they're going to reflect on their pit stop there. It's 2 seconds longer than it needed to be at the end of the race. The margin between those two was 1.926 seconds. If they'd spent their 2 seconds less in the pits, perhaps they could have beaten Antonucci out of the pit lane. They didn't. That's a moot point, and it's Antonucci that comes home with the win. Hats off also to Bart Collins, who just did a great job to hold off Matt Dickin all the way to the finish line and obtain his first victory and the first for his co-driver Michael Minella in that MCR, the National Safe Drivers car number four, for that MCR racing team. And like Richard Antonucci and a few others, bouncing back from a dismal weekend at Road America, where they didn't even start either races following a crash early in that weekend. So hats off to Bart Collins and Mike Minella for the LB Cup win.
Absolutely, and there was great racing all around the racetrack, and that is why the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Championship is one of the best single-make series in the world. It is providing us with great racing all season long. The championship not over. One final North American round tomorrow from WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, and then off to the World Finals in Misano, Italy. Thanks for joining Jeremy Shaw and myself. We'll be back for round 10 of the 2021 season tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.